Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH, or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, it's been a whirlwind of emotions, obviously, since Sunday. First Baptist Church down in Sutherland, Texas. And it's just hard to process all this and to go through it. And to just consider the ramifications of all this as we, of course, you know, we need to be praying. And I think all of us are, and I'm confident that everybody in this audience anyway, it just tears at your heartstrings when you see this kind of stuff going on in our country. And it, you know, a month ago was Mandalay, the hotel and the 58, 59 people shot dead by that madman in Las Vegas. And then it wasn't that long ago, last Monday on Halloween, when the Muslim man drove the truck up onto the sidewalk and bike area in New York City, right down in Manhattan, right near World Trade Center, Ground Zero, and killed 8 and injured at least another 12. And then Sunday, I mean, and you go through these victims from the church shooting, and in a church, which you would think that, that would be a safe place, right? But it isn't. And the one thing you know about a church, it's got a cross over it. And Jesus himself told us that we would have trouble and that there'd be persecution and that we would struggle and that we would be hated and on and on and on. And the list goes. And so let's not any of us be surprised that a church would become a target. The church has been a target since Jesus Christ gave birth to the church. And so that's just the way it is. But how do we react to that? So today, I'm going to share a couple of stories here and some things that were frustrating and some things that are beautiful. And a story from the man across the street who shot at and hit the madman who later, had at least 2 bullets in him and then took his own life, took the coward's way out. And obviously that was, this is a guy with a long history of mental illness, and his second wife had beat her and hurt and fractured the skull of her 18-month-old son. This guy was a madman, and they threw him in jail and confinement in the brig for 12 months in the Air Force as a result of that incident. Also just found out he spent some time in a mental facility. I think it was in New Mexico, and escaped from that once. I mean, the guy was a madman. And then we look to the government. And by the way, this is Steve Noble. It is Called to Action Radio. We look to the government, or some percentage of the population does, and say more laws and more gun control and more regulation. Yet it was the government, in this case, the Air Force, that dropped the ball and did not take the information from this madman and his criminal activity and the things that he was busted for while he was in the Air Force. And they didn't put it on the federal database. So when he goes to get to buy guns and they do a background check on him, that stuff doesn't show up. And if it had shown up, he wouldn't have been able to legally purchase guns, which is the way the system's supposed to work. But you want to look to the government for the answer. And the government can't provide the answer. And the government can't provide the answer to the lunacy of a madman who's obviously lost his mind and had a history of being on medication and in trouble with the law and a domestic abuser, which, by the way, to our friend Joy Brown Forrest, who was on just a couple weeks ago, domestic abuse, we don't deal with it well. We do not deal with it well, and we don't deal with it well in the church, because I think Joy brought up a study that showed like 65, 70, 75, 80% of pastors, some high number, dealt with domestic abuse victims, but less than 30% of them felt qualified to handle it, to counsel properly. And so we say, hey, just love Jesus more and get in a Bible study and do some more journaling and everything will be fine. And the next thing you know, a madman, insane person, demonically oppressed, obviously, with a history of domestic abuse, shows up at a church and kills in cold blood. I mean, some of the details coming out on this are just brutal. I mean, little children crying, he shoots them point blank. I mean, I'm looking at a whole list of victims here. The youngest was 18 months, and actually the youngest, that's not even accurate. The youngest was less than 9 months gestation, died in its mother's womb, along with its mother. And this whole list of people, You know, Annabelle Pomeroy, of course, who was the 14-year-old. That's the pastor's daughter, and the pastor and his wife were in Florida at the time. Robert and Shani Corrigan. Family and friends held a candlelight vigil Monday for the Corrigans. The couple graduated from Harrison High School just outside of Detroit and moved down there. They were a military family. You got the Holcomb family. Joe Holcomb lost children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. In all, 8 members of his extended family were killed, as well as an unborn child. We're having a hard time, he told NBC News. And the list goes on and on and on. Dennis and Sarah Johnson. Friends and family describe Dennis and Sarah Johnson as a loving couple and devoted members of the First Baptist congregation. And Haley Krueger, 16. She loved babies and dreamed of becoming a nurse in a neonatal intensive care unit. According to a family friend, she was a beautiful, vibrant girl. And Scott and Karen Marshall, the couple were reportedly first-time visitors. First-time visitors in search of a new home church when they walked into First Baptist this past Sunday. Tara McNulty, she worked at the Ament Saloon in Sanguine, east of San Antonio, and the restaurant launched a GoFundMe page to raise money for her family. The Ward family, Joanne Ward, was attending church services with her children when the gunman opened fire. Relatives confirmed that Ward and her young daughters, Brooke, 5, and Emily, 7, were killed. And I heard a story that she died trying to shield them, which I'm sure she was. And nearly half of the victims of the mass shooting were children. So the question I want to wrestle through today, which I don't even think requires much of a wrestling, but it may. And again, I want to remind you when you call into Call to Action Radio, I'm not here to beat you up. I'm not here to, quote unquote, win an argument with you. I believe that my witness as a follower of Jesus Christ is more important than my ability to win an argument with you. And so if you have a contrary opinion to mine, never be afraid to call into this show. The Old Testament tells us, come let us reason one to another. And that's what we're going to do. So the question I want to wrestle through today is, how do you feel about having armed men, and I suppose women too, in your church? How do you feel about securing your church by having people in your congregation packing? Should we have people packing in our churches? Is that where we're at? Is that what we need to do? Or are we just like good Christian soldiers? We don't fight in the worldly way. We don't fight in the fleshly way. We fight in the spiritual realm. So we don't need guns. We need prayer. And Jesus told us we were going to be persecuted. And so it's all in God's hands. So let's not worry about it. What should we do? So I'm going to spend the rest of the show, well, talking to you. 866-34-TRUTH. How do you feel about having armed people in your church service this coming Sunday? And maybe you already do. Maybe you deal with security, and maybe you don't. Maybe you're all for it. I'm all for it. I think you should have a number of armed people that are trained and capable in a church service, but that's just my opinion. What's yours? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-34-TRUTH, guns in church. Welcome back to Call to Action Radio. It's Steve Noble. That's some pretty intense music, but this is a pretty intense topic. How do you feel about having guns in church? Should you have parishioners, church members, elders, deacons, whomever, packing heat in the church? And how do you feel about that? And maybe they already do that at your church. I want to hear from you and what you think about it. I have a lot of friends on Facebook Live right now chiming in. So if you want to join us that way, facebook.com/C2A Radio, all run together. And that's the actual address of our Facebook page. You can join us via Facebook Live there. Of course, here on the air, if you want to call in, guns in church, do we need to do it? Is it biblical? Is it the right thing to do? Is it fear? Because we haven't been given a spirit of fear, right? We've been given a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. And we don't fight as the world fights. Our battle isn't carnal, right? So are we supposed to lay down our arms and just let a madman come in and kill our people like happened on Sunday? Or should we be armed up? Should we have people packing heat in the church service, worshiping the Lord, raising up holy hands and ready to raise up a gun if another madman comes in, or an Islamic extremist or whatever, to church? So I want to hear from you today on that one as we work through it. 866-34-TRUTH is our number, 866-34-TRUTH. I'm going to jump right to our busy phone lines. We're going to go to Jason, who was in Des Moines, Iowa. I'm going to put you back on hold. Let me jump over to Brian, who's in Raleigh. Well, there we go. 0-for-2. Let me try one more time. Let me jump over here to Gerald, who's calling in from Durham, North Carolina. Gerald, you're on with Steve. Go ahead.
Well, I am firmly a believer in God looking after his people, his chosen people, and all those that came behind them. But our country was founded on religious freedom. It was also an amendment to be able to bear arms to protect the freedoms that we have been given, and God given freedoms that we have. I'm sure when my testimony of where I came from, I should have probably died years ago, but God kept me and protected me until I was able to start teaching children 30 years ago. I'm still teaching children now, and I do teach them that God's looking after them, but I teach them that we're on this earth. God gave us the sense to look after ourselves, to feed our children, to do the things that we need to do to be alive and be healthy. You can eat hamburgers 24 hours a day, or you can eat salads. It's all a lot of choices that we make.
That's right. That's
and we have people in our church that are armed. I know of at least three that carry arms at all times, whether they're in church or wherever they are, just for the instance of something like happened in Texas or has happened quite often in our country in the last few years.
Yeah, that's right. Gerald, thanks so much for listening. Thanks for calling in and sharing that. And that, hey, listen, maybe your ability to love your neighbor would require your ability to defend your neighbor if your neighbor's being attacked. Did you ever think of it that way? And I think we need to when it comes to guns in church. 866-34-TRUTH. Should we have people packing in our services this Sunday? 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Joe, who's calling in from Greensboro, North Carolina. Joe, thanks for calling. Thanks for listening. You're on with Steve. Go ahead.
Thank you, Steve. I'm a first-time caller.
Awesome. Thank you.
Our church last night, our service last night was basically first we talked about the guns. I didn't realize that people were actually packing, but after we had our meeting and found out there were some, more had the license than the concealed carry license than I thought, but several were packing, and I felt a lot safer after that.
Yeah, and I think that's just the reality. So did your church, were you guys discussing whether you wanted that to be the official position, that you make sure you always have qualified, trained people packing?
We're okay with it. We did. It was kind of an unspoken. I didn't know about it. You know, no one ever said it. I've been there a couple of years. Right. No one ever said it. But I feel a lot safer in the pew knowing all I want to do is sit closer to the person with a gun that I know.
Yeah, no kidding. Did you have anybody that was in disagreement in that meeting, Joe?
No. We were all 100%. Matter of fact, you know, several of us talked about going to get our concealed license. And, you know, basically it was saying, if you've got them, bring them. Because, you know, we kind of know each other. It's a very small church.
Yeah.
We know each other. So, you know, we don't get no crazy people in that church at the moment.
Right, yeah.
But the rest of our time we spent Sunday, we just prayed for the people in Texas.
Amen.
Southern Texas. It was just bad then.
That's right. Well, thanks for calling and thanks for sharing that. That was great, Joe. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. And let's jump over to, Monty, who's calling in from Granger, Iowa. Monty, you're on with Steve. Thanks for calling in. Go ahead.
Yeah, Steve. Nice talking with you again.
You as well.
I think what needs to be done, especially with these small churches like this incident happened, you can't expect them to have somebody paid on, you know, for the given Sundays and stuff. But once again, even a small church like that would probably have some type of law enforcement officer or something in the congregation. And if that's the case, then hopefully they would volunteer, come forth, and basically say, okay, I will start carrying my weapon to church all the time. And not only that, maybe we should actually have a type of plan where if something like this happens, everybody hits the floor, I'm the only one standing up shooting, because then that way nobody will get hit accidentally. Now, the mega churches, of course, they can afford to have 3-4 people, you know, come in and pay them to be guards, basically. But, you know, this situation at this small church, they didn't have the way about. They probably never thought about it. And, you know, and obviously after the incident is over, it's something that maybe we all need to talk about and get a plan and see if there is somebody that I like I know in our church, we have a DOT officer. I don't believe he brings his weapon to church, but maybe it's a good idea to start.
Yeah, absolutely. Monty, thanks so much for calling and thanks for listening. I appreciate that.
Yep. Thank you.
You're welcome. God bless you. And that's something you have to listen. I mean, that's active shooter situation. And there's more training going on around the country because that's just the world we live in. And to think it's going to get better, it isn't. it's going to get worse. You're not going to have peace on earth until Jesus comes back and establishes his kingdom on earth personally, in person. Then you'll have some peace on earth. But until then, it's really only going to get worse. So I think that's a great idea. And Joe, our previous caller, was talking, you know, they know each other. And he goes to a small church. And by the way, just a little church trivia here for you. Do you know how big the average church in America is? There's over 350,000 churches in America. Just guess, how big is the average church? It's still less than 100 people. It's in the mid-90s. So like Joe said, they know each other. So you know you don't have any, you know, hopefully you know you don't have any crazy people, mentally disturbed people, abusers in the church. But this guy wasn't a part of the church. Part of his ex-in-laws were, which it appears to be one of the reasons why he was there. But that's just somebody coming in from the outside. And I think, I haven't found this yet, but I think he started shooting from outside and then came inside and was killing little children point blank. And nobody in there, unfortunately, could shoot back. Because really, the only thing that can stop a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. And we saw that, and I'll share that story from the gentleman that was across the street who hit him twice and probably saved a whole bunch more lives doing it. But this is a serious deal. And part of loving your neighbor is being able to defend them. And by the way, when God says love your neighbor as yourself, he's also telling you to take care of yourself too, which may require that you walk into church this Sunday with a gun on your hip. Let's jump into, let's talk to Lori, who's calling in. We just lost Lori again. Let's go to Rose, who's calling in with Winston-Salem. Rose, I'm going to get to you in just a second. I'm going to keep you on hold. And I want to hear from you guys. Maybe you're already doing something at your church and you have strategically placed people. Should we be packing in church? Would you feel better or worse this Sunday? Or are we operating in the flesh when we should be operating in the spirit? And if you're totally against guns in the church, I want to hear from you too. And I promise you, I will not bite your head off. I'll love you well. 866-34-TRUTH. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio, discussing, I think, a very important topic. Should we have armed people? And maybe obviously armed. Like not even conceal carry. You have people that are trained and like I mentioned, I mentioned this to my Facebook friends. If you want to join us on Facebook Live right now, facebook.com/C2A radio. So when I say C2A, that's always the letter C, the number two, and the letter A as in called to action. facebook.com/C2A radio. And I was mentioning it during the commercial break that at Call to Worship, you know, a week ago or so, 2 weeks ago from this Friday, Bishop Wooden, because he's very conservative, he's very outspoken, he's been out there in the public fighting against big issues, whether it's the gender thing and the bathroom bills or the gay marriage movement, all that kind of stuff. And so he's hated in many circles, and he doesn't go anywhere publicly without these really significant big security guys with him who wear badges. They have badges on their breast pockets of their suit coats, and they've been licensed through the state here in North Carolina. And I actually like that idea more than just conceal carry people, because then it's obvious if anybody comes to case your church, God forbid, they're going to see, oh, these people actually have security. That's why a lot of mass shootings we've seen in the past happen in places where you're not allowed to carry a gun. So who carries the gun into the place like that? The bad guy, the lunatic, the maniacal, demonically oppressed or suppressed person, and people die. And so that's our question today as we wrestle through it. Should we be packing heat in church this Sunday? If you want to call in and share either way, for or against, I'd love to have that conversation and just hear what you're saying and hear what you're thinking on this one. 866-34-TRUTH is our number. 866-34-TRUTH. A real quick reminder about our friends at MediShare. If you ever find yourself and have major medical expenses, which most of us will sooner or later, in Obamacare and insurance, a friend of mine that I know through the radio, his policy, because of Obamacare, was about to triple to like over $2,000 a month. Who can afford that? It's totally insane. So we were in the same situation about 5 years ago, my family. So we got looked into MediShare, which has been around since 1993, over $1 billion in major medical expenses shared by other Christians. It's a Christian ministry, a not-for-profit Christian ministry. And it was a great blessing for our family. Gets us around having to pay for things that Obamacare would want you to pay for, like abortions or abortifacients. And then got you around that and saved us a lot of money. So if you want to check into that, I would advise that you do. That would be wise of you. 855-BIBLE-11 is their number. 855-BIBLE-11, now available in Montana. But if you want to call in and answer the question today or give your opinion, should we have people packing heat in church this Sunday. Give us a call at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Rose, who's calling in from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Rose, thanks for holding. You're on with Steve. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. I'm a first-time caller.
Amen.
I most recently have found your station on the radio, and I enjoy it thoroughly.
That's great.
I pack heat for my protection, and I feel like the church should be protected. There's some people out there that, and for a long time, people in church, normally, they don't carry guns. In a way, to a criminal, that right there is, hey, slim pickings, you know what I'm talking about?
Sure, of course.
Nobody gets me.
Yeah.
They don't think like the Christian people do.
Would you ever, and, do you ever carry when you go to church, Rose?
No, I haven't.
Would you if your pastor asked you to?
Yes. I would also, if, yeah, I mean, you can go to some kind of store, and I'd be glad to pack the, wear the uniform for the church.
Yeah.
I would protect anyone. Yeah. I happened to ask one of my supervisors at work, I won't say where I work, and I told her, I said, all them people in the church, well, excuse me, I'm talking about the Walmart store now.
Yes, yes.
The one that was, you know, the man went in there and I believe shot three people or four people died or whatever. I heard on the Wild Blue Yonder, the police took about 5 hours to check people out in Walmart that was carrying heat.
Wow.
What was the love for your neighbor?
Yeah. You would,
I asked my supervisor, I said, if you and your sweetie were in a Walmart, and this wackadoodle man comes in there and starts firing, would it be okay for him to kill him, or shoot him, or hurt him, or get him off of you? Oh, yeah. I said, now, what if you were in Walmart, and your sweetie's standing there, and he sees several people getting shot? What if he was to pull his pistol out and shoot him and kill him? Oh, that's murder. I said, what's the difference, darling?
Wow.
What is the difference?
Yeah, see, I mean, and that's, and Rose, I gotta grab some other callers. I appreciate you listening. I'm so glad you found the station, and thanks for calling in. Amen, that's right. Thanks for calling in, Rose. I appreciate it. And you know, that's, you're in that situation, like I said before, one of the ways you can love your neighbor is to keep them from being shot and killed. That's a pretty good way to love your neighbor. So in church, you can love your neighbor by having the ability, or your church can love your neighbor well and love your congregation well by having the ability to defend you in a world that has, sure would appear, an increasingly instances of this kind of violent, senseless, psychotic crime. And so I'm glad there's people like Rose out there that have been trained and know how to handle a weapon. Let's jump over to Kelly, who's calling in from Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Kelly, you're on with Steve. Thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Yes, sir, Steve. I'm a pastor of a small church. We meet a little bit outside of Carrboro.
Amen. Thank you for serving the Lord, bro.
Well, we meet in a school, and I have my concealed carry permit, but I cannot take that anywhere near the school, and I couldn't ask my congregation to do that. So I'm curious what your perspective would be, because I agree with everything that's been said, but it would put my congregants at great risk if
right.
one of them's carrying for the protection of the church. And on a school, you know, they talk ugly about you if they catch you with a firearm.
Of course. And you're there, you know, you're renting the facility, I assume, and that's at the pleasure of the school district. And so is this conversation for you guys, Pastor, gotten a lot more heated since Sunday?
Several of my congregants also have concealed carry. And as it's a smaller congregation, so you know everybody.
Sure.
And what my wife and I actually are talking about doing is we're going to see if we can get up with the town, with the police, and see if we
Absolutely.
Can get an off-duty officer. Because although I completely agree with self-defense and with the right to carry, doing it on school grounds and you get caught, you wind up.
I
couldn't ask that for my Congress.
Well, no, of course not. And that's where you have to, you know, we got a little render unto Caesar. What is Caesar's there?
Yes,
and we
sir,
have
exactly.
to submit to the governing authorities. But I think, and that was going to be my suggestion, Pastor, is immediately go to I wouldn't go to the school because the school has to answer to the school system, which is run by the county. I would immediately go to your local government and say, hey, listen, in light of what happened, What can we do to get around this? Because it's not a school day. You don't have students there. But that, no, that's a standing law. But I think that's a great idea. Find an off-duty police officer, because an officer of the law is allowed to go on school grounds and just try to come to an arrangement with them. I think that's a great idea.
In a visible position, yes, sir.
Oh, absolutely. I think that. More than concealed carry, I'd rather have people that are open carry. And if they have some kind of badge and official training, I think that would help people as well to feel secure. I think that's great.
Thank you, Steve.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling in. I appreciate it. And it's, you know, that's a tough one, but you got to go. You go right to the authorities. You just run it right up the flagpole. And I think that's what you got to do. We lost Kelly there. Sorry about that. Let's go to Lisa, who's calling in from Charlotte. Charlotte, North Carolina. Lisa, you're on with Steve. Go ahead.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Great. Thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. I was just calling in. I got into a conversation like this with my niece about a year ago when the Charlotte riots had taken place. And we were talking about being able to defend yourself or being, you know, if someone has a gun to your head saying, you know, deny Christ or die, well, there's no question. You pull the trigger. But if someone comes into my church and starts shooting, I have every right to defend myself. And the folks in my in our congregation, we have a security team in place that goes through the parking lot every service, and we have men in place that are watching. We have women in the church that carry. In my Sunday school class, there's six of us that are carrying at all times, and three of those are women. So we have every right to defend ourselves and our neighbors, as we should.
Now, Lisa, let me ask you this question, and I'm encouraged by that. That doesn't freak me out at all. I mean, because to get a concealed carry, the training's pretty strict, and you got to know what you're doing. But was this something that, how long have you been at the church, and has it always been an issue that the church has said, okay, we're going to secure ourselves?
We got, the pastor that we have now has been with us for a little over a year, and that is one of the first things that he set into place was to organize and pull together a security team made up of veterans, made up of police officers, made up of security officers, career police officers and security officers, and, you know, people that we know and trust, and they have to go through background check and everything, you know, just like when you're going through concealed weapons class.
Sure, of course. Yeah, I think that's wonderful. Praise the Lord for that, Pastor. Lisa, thanks so much for calling in and sharing that with us today on Call to Action. If you want to share your thoughts, should we be packing heat openly or maybe concealed in church this Sunday? Would you feel better or would you feel worse? Would you feel like maybe we're capitulating somehow, playing by the rules of the world instead of playing by the spiritual forces? This is Steve Noble on Call to Action. We'll be right back. Back at Steve Noble Call to Action Radio, talking about a very important subject today. Unfortunately, it's an important subject and something that we have to engage and engage actively, the whole topic of having guns in church, and whether it's a small church, like we saw on Sunday, the horrific shooting there in Sutherland Springs, Texas, at First Baptist Church, Sutherland Springs, and 26 dead, 20 wounded, the youngest being in the womb, the oldest being 77 years of age, and the report's coming out now that this deranged psychopath, demonically influenced young man, killing young children, crying and screaming, little kids, point-blank range. And so should that be, hey, we welcome everybody at our church with open arms. You're lost, you're found, you're straight, you're gay. You're Republican, you're Democrat, you're rich, you're poor, black, white, Asian, Hispanic, whatever. You're all welcome. But on the same sign, should it say, oh, and by the way, if you start shooting, because you're here to hurt or kill people, if you start shooting, we love you, we're glad you're here. But if you start shooting, we're shooting back. You know, sign the management. Is that the position we should be taking? And the church, by the way, I posted this on Facebook. Then I'm going to get back to our callers. Here's this congressman. Democrat walks out of a moment of silence for Texas massacre victims. A junior Democratic congressman from California. Congressman T.I.U. And this better be his first and last term. It better be. Representative Ted Lieu. I can't do this again. I've been to too many moments of silences. I refuse to be silent. Does this guy not know what a moment of, is a moment of silence now for so many politicians just an opportunity to grandstand? Can you not get it? I put this up on Facebook Live. A moment of, on Facebook, on both my pages. A moment of silence is designed to be a solemn pause to remember, pray for, and honor a person or a group of people who have suffered and or died. A moment of silence is designed to unify people under the common bond of humanity, or as citizens of a nation or a state or a city, or in this case, a church. A moment of silence is designed to build a bridge, remind us that we have some things in common, and help us move forward after a tragedy. Shame on this elected official or any elected official that would turn a moment of silence into a personal platform for politics. Hashtag disgraceful. Hashtag conduct unbecoming. Hashtag time to replace this congressman. So, friends in California, you better kick this guy out on his rear end. That's the beautiful thing about the House of Representatives. You can get to any man or woman elected official in the House every 2 years. And our founding fathers designed it that way. That's why all spending bills, tax bills, have to come out of the House. Because when they come after us and try to abuse us, we can get to them in less than 2 years every time, every single one of them. And so this guy needs to lose his job just as quickly as he got it. It's just totally disgraceful. Let's go back to our busy phones. And then I did want to remind you of there's a great story. I also posted it on Facebook of the gentleman that was across the street from the church and shot and hit the killer twice. And the guy loves the Lord. He's a Christian. That comes out in the interview. And he was just trying to help. He was just trying to protect people. He was ready, willing, and able. He had an assault rifle, and he hit the guy twice. And he's like, I'm no hero. Very emotional interview to watch. I put that up on the Facebook page, facebook.com/C2A Radio. Let's jump back over. Let's go to Mac, who's calling in from Raleigh. Mac, so, sorry to keep you on hold for so long. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, that's okay. There's a lot of great points. A very important issue. And I appreciate you taking the time to dedicate to sharing and talking about it and enable people to engage in conversation about it. There's a lot that's been said already. I've pastored for over 20 years, and I just wanted to say that I think that definitely that the church arming itself or having a security team is same in line as appropriate as it is that we have locks on our doors, we have security systems in the event that someone to break in. That doesn't mean that we don't have faith in God. It doesn't mean that we don't care about people. Is that we are doing what we are. We have an obligation to be good stewards and be responsible in that. And we have a responsibility to provide a safe environment. The same way, if someone were to come in and assault somebody, we would escort them out. Tell them they have to leave. I think we have to do the same thing. And we have to do it with caution and responsibility. I don't think that we should be announcing who's packing. You know, in our churches, I think that we need to have a security team in place, people in being vigilant and observing, observant, of who's coming, who's going, what is happening. You know, not everybody's moving in the spirit. Some people are not there. A lot of people are not there because they want to hear and grow closer to God. Some are there because of domestic violence situations that they want to cause harm to someone. So I think that we do an injustice to our to not only the body of Christ, but to our congregants, our parishioners, if we do not prepare ourselves in a changing world to be able to, you know, protect ourselves and allow them to be able to come and know that they're free, that they're worshiping in a safe environment. So.
Amen. Pastor, and what's the name of your church, Pastor?
Yes, I'm a part of our Crossroads Fellowship in Raleigh.
Oh, amen. Yes, sir.
I'm not a senior pastor there. I pastored before becoming a part of the church, but you know, just from that pastoral mindset and experience, I just wanted to kind of share that within proper context. So.
That's great. You're serving at a great church. Doug Gamble is a good friend of mine, so God bless you, Pastor. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, he's my brother from another mother. So.
Amen. I'm with you. Thanks, man. God bless you too. Thanks for calling in. And you have to take these things seriously. And again, we may disagree on whether it should be concealed or not concealed. I think the more obvious, the better. But the other caller earlier, I think that's a great idea. Active shooter training, isn't it? I mean, it's sad that we even have to think like that. Hey, here's in the church bulletin. By the way, we're going to have a drill. We're going to send this out, a little video, training video. If somebody comes in and they start shooting, everybody needs to get on the ground. We have a certain number of people who are trained and will be carrying weapons. They will remain standing. You hit the dirt, and then they will, as quickly as possible, subdue or kill anybody that comes in to kill the flock. I mean, I know it. To some people, that's going to sound harsh. But that really is protecting your flock, loving your neighbor. Evil is real, and you have to deal with it. I'm going to try to get back over here to Jason, who's calling in from Des Moines. Jason, you're on with Steve. Sorry to keep you on hold. Go ahead.
Hi there, Steve. Oh, and it's Jason. I'm a first-time caller as well. I've been listening to your show now for the last couple weeks.
Awesome. Thank
really
you.
Good stuff. Yeah. And, I mean, so far from heard of this conversation, I haven't heard a single person opposed to the idea of having protection, and in no way do I disagree. We fully need, just like that pastor was just speaking, not only should we be able to, I think it's our responsibility in today's changing world to make sure we are prepared and protected in these kind of areas, and this doesn't apply to just church. I think this should apply to anything. School, the fact that we can't have them there, I mean, one of the first big shootings, I think, was in the 1960s at a school.
Yeah.
And that was a big issue back then, and it has ceased. I really think it should be implied everywhere. And as far as the fact of having it concealed or not, I totally think it should be trained people who are exposed. You can see that they are trained and prepared, you know, to deter those kind of actions.
Yeah, I think and those are great points, Jason. I'm so glad you found the show. Thanks for listening, and especially thanks for calling in today and sharing with us.
Yeah, well, I mean, it goes. I mean, it's so deep to look at that. I mean, in today's world, it is scary to go anywhere. I mean, if you're a United States citizen going out of the country, you can go anywhere in the world, and you ain't going to feel safe or secure. And it's getting that way in the United States itself. And if we don't have those kind of security provisions, I mean, the churches themselves, we're going to lose people, those churches. Those poor people who lost their family and friends in that church in Texas in that shooting, how do we know they're going to come back? I mean, I pray to God that they do and that they can get through this.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That is something really hard.
Well, yeah, and especially as, and thanks again, Jason, for calling in and sharing that. And especially as the days get darker and there's more persecution, there, I fully expect to see more stuff like this. I'm still shocked and just praise the Lord that we haven't had Islamic suicide bombers with a backpack walking into Starbucks. I mean, all I can do is give God praise and glory for that, and just assume that it's just His common grace. He still loves America. He still loves Americans. We have crossed Him so many different times, not to mention 60 million dead babies. And on that, I just have to say this. It's incumbent on me to say this. If you get a pastor out there that's right on securing his flock, I hope you know where I'm going with this, and he's right on wanting to protect them with guns because he doesn't want to allow anybody to come in his church and kill his flock. But if the guy turns around and says nothing, or the gal turns around and says nothing about the abortion issue, or votes personally for any Democrat, sorry, I have to go there on the life issue, that flies underneath a flag soaked in the blood of the unborn. So he's going to secure his church and say nothing about the Holocaust of 60 million dead babies in this country since 1973. If you're that pastor, God help you. You need to get on your knees before a holy God and repent, because you're right on one thing and you're monstrously wrong on another. And for what? Politics? You think you can trust the Democrat Party or the Republican Party for that matter? They're made up of human beings who are deeply flawed. So you have to stand on the only thing that isn't shifting sand, and that's the Word of God. Forget the Republicans, forget the Democrat Party. That's why I re-registered as an independent a few years ago. I'm like, I'm a member of one party, God's party. And I vote Republican all the time, but I'm not trusting those guys and gals. Forget it. So if you're right on securing your flock and you're wrong on abortion, you need to repent. I'm going to jump over to Sam, who's calling in from Winston-Salem. Oh, sorry, I missed Sam there. Let's go to Alan calling in from Kernersville, North Carolina. Alan, thanks for giving me some room to rant there. Go ahead.
Hey, Steve. I don't have answers. Just got more questions. Heard the stuff on, it might have been Dr. Brown on his, he had a...
Yeah, real quick, Alan.
Pastor there. And he brought a question that, and by the way, I do have concealed carry this. I'm with everybody. But God is in control, and we've got to realize if we take that gun in hand, we're going to take on our own self
life and death.
This life. Yeah.
Yep.
We
that's
gotta
a great
know
point.
God is saying. Gotta,
amen.
We got to know in our heart. Got to say, take him
amen.
Out because we got a lot of people watching.
Alan, that's a great point. I'm just up against the end of the show. I appreciate you calling and making that point. And Alan, thanks. That's a great point. You better know what you're dealing with. We're not talking about animals here. We're talking about human beings. That's why we need people that are responsible, safe, and trained, and full of the Spirit and self-control. This is Steve Noble. It is Call to Action Radio, and God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon.